Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Well, if there's a particular motorsport that I like to watch, it's one called rally racing. It's off-road racing. You know, sometimes I practice a bit when I'm driving, and if you've been in my car, you've been a passenger, you would know this to be true. Not really. Well, maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit, but the real rally racing is done in custom-built cars, built to handle off-road conditions and drift-tuned for sharp turns. You like that? In rally, the roads are all different. I mean, they can be gravel, mud, or they can be snow or asphalt. And originally, this was a way for engineers to test and develop cars under the toughest conditions. Now, unlike a circuit driver or a race car driver who knows the racetrack well and is familiar with every corner, the rally driver and the co-driver, or the navigator as they're known, has to deal with hundreds of kilometres of road where every corner is different and there can be obstacles on the road. You just never know. And they need to be able to negotiate all types of terrains and weather conditions. To give you a bit of a glimpse of what this is like, I'm going to just show you a clip now, a short clip. This is rally racing. Nice. Hey, who enjoyed that? That little 20 seconds of, I see those hands, I see all those hands. Now there is so much that is crazy about what we just watched. From the spectators who stand along the side of the road, I mean that's crazy, yeah? Who would agree? It's crazy. To the driver, the crazy driver who drives at speed on unpredictable roads and conditions. Or the navigator. The navigator, who actually volunteers to get in the car with the crazy driver. But notice that the navigator, I mean, he's not watching the road, and it's not because he's afraid. I mean, if I was in there, I'd be watching like this. But he's not watching like that. It's not because he's afraid to watch, but because he's reading aloud the instructions for the driver. I'm not sure who's crazier out of all of this scenario. Now, don't judge me, because I learned to drive on a tractor. I then moved up to motorbikes and finally got a car. But the part I loved about this motorsport the most is the partnership between the driver and the navigator, who from a book of pace notes reads out the course directives to the driver and anticipates the next turn in the road. The teamwork between the driver and the navigator is based upon total trust and total commitment. The driver must place all of his trust and also his own life in the hands of the navigator who navigates throughout the race. The navigator will tell the driver where to turn, the severity of the turn, what to look out for, and what's ahead in the next 100 meters. Sometimes even there will be tire tracks that go to the left. But if the navigator still says turn right, the driver must turn right. The driver must have complete faith in the navigator, because he does not race by what he sees, but rather by what he hears from his navigator. Listen to this. The driver's ability to follow and respond according to what he hears determines their race finish. Do you like that? Does any of this sound familiar to you? You obviously drive like I drive. You know, as we enter this new year, filled with new opportunities, new challenges, new blessings from God, the difference, can I suggest to you that the difference we want to see in our lives will not necessarily come about by the things, the new things that we add into our lives. Sure, we can add in better habits. We can add in better choices into our lives. We can add better eating, for instance. How many know that that would be a good thing after Christmas? We can add in exercise. Any hands? No hands. Oh, a couple of faithful. Thank you. Thank you, sister. You can exercise for me too. We can surround, I think I have that membership for the gym, just like Pastor Shane and Georgie do. I will use it. Sometimes we can add in all sorts of things into our lives, particularly at the start of a new year. We can decide that we're not going to do things the same way as we've done things in 2019 or the past year. We're going to do things differently, and so we can add things into our lives. But could it simply be that the greatest difference we want to see in our lives comes from not something external to us or on the outside of us, but rather from a renewed, wholehearted response to follow Him? To follow Him. We go through life, and each one of us is uniquely made by God. I mean, we have our own custom-built exterior, built and created by God to finish the race. I mean, we have our personality traits and our character. We have our gifts and our talents. And we have this custom-built exterior, and some of our exteriors are flashy. They're youthful. I mean, they're full of fuel. And then some of us are... Well, it's like our New Year's resolutions. They need work. Yeah? Anyone agree? We work on making the exterior look good, but isn't it the inward follow of our hearts which ultimately sets our course and determines our race finish? Isn't it? So I want to ask you a question today. Who are you following? Whose instructions are you following? Who is in the navigator's seat of your life? Whose influence are you living under? I would put to you today, on this very first Sunday of the new year, that your best year and that your most fruitful year can only be found in our undivided, wholehearted follow of Jesus Christ. Amen? Which means that everything else has to take a back seat. Everything else, because to follow Him with our whole heart, to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, to follow our navigator in the front seat, to follow His presence and follow His ways and follow His word, follow His instructions and His guiding, calls for our single and undivided focus. It calls for our single focus in our following that will lead us deeper into our understanding of my Father's house. You know, I can guarantee that the driver's focus when he's in the race is on the next instruction from the navigator in order to follow it. That's all he's concerned about. That's his total priority. And so too, as we follow God, we need to take out the peripheral. We need to take out the stuff that would cause distraction in our lives. We need to leave some things behind in 2019. Don't take them with you. Don't pack up everything from 2019 and take it with you into this new year, because some of the stuff you need to leave behind. Amen? The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto who?" Looking only unto Jesus. Looking only, single focused unto Jesus, who is the author, He's the originator, and He's the finisher, He's the completer of our faith. Amen. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, on social media, we can follow and unfollow whenever we like, whenever it's convenient. I can follow if I like, or I can unfollow if I don't like. We often follow the filtered kind of life that maybe isn't real, yeah? But I wonder today, and I would ask you today, I wonder if we would even follow God if He was on Insta. Would we follow God if He was on Insta? Because God never softened the truth. Jesus never softened the truth. And the truth is that following Him leads to some very difficult choices that we need to make. Some things that we have to leave behind. Some things that we have to embrace. But God never softens the truth. He says it very clearly in the Word of God. He says it means to what it means to follow him, things like anyone who loves their father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. That's truth, amen? I don't know that we would follow God if he was on Insta. Yeah? Because sometimes it's easier to unfollow. It's more convenient. It's more comfortable to unfollow. And so if we take that social media kind of follow and that thinking into our Christian walk, well, that doesn't work. It doesn't work in our relationship with God, because as long as we're comfortable and we like it, we can click follow. But if God asks us to change something, maybe he puts his finger on something in our life and he says, you can't take that with you into 2020. You can't take that sin. You need to remove that sin. Get that sin out of your life. You can't have that. End me. And he starts to put his finger on things in our life. Well, sometimes we want to click unfollow because, Lord, I don't like what you're saying to me right now. Can't I have this and you as well? No, you can't in the follow. You can't in the follow because God is a holy God. God is a holy God. And so we need to understand that true follow, as we just read, means to lay aside every weight and every care of this world. Everything, every single thing that would separate us from a holy God who calls us to follow him, which means we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him. That's what true follow means. You know, whether I'm feeling it or whether I'm not feeling it, whether I felt like coming to church or not today. And you did because you're here. You're all here. It's awesome. But whether I choose, whether I want to serve today or not, whether I'm feeling like it or whether I'm not, whether things are going well for me or whether they're not going so well, every day I have a choice to follow him. Every day I have a choice to follow his word. Every day I have a choice to choose my attitude, to choose my response, to choose the way, the things that I'm going to do, the habits that I'm going to put in my life. Every day I have a choice to follow God. How will we follow him in this new year? We have a choice to follow him close. So, you know, this morning I want to look at a story from the Old Testament about one man's race. And it's a race as he runs it into my father's house. If you've got your Bibles today, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 5. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 5, and it will be on the screen. Then David and all of the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on castanets, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nashon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside to the nearest house, into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed and all of his household. Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. And so David went and he brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. Obed-Edom was a Gittite. He wasn't an Israelite. He was a Philistine from Gath. And when Uzzah dies from touching the ark, and King David, this is the ark of the covenant of God. This is symbolic of the presence of God. And when King David is afraid to take the ark into Jerusalem, he decides He's going to take it aside to the nearest house. He's going to put it in the nearest house, which just so happens to be Obed's house. Obed has no idea what's about to take place in his life. And isn't that the reality of what God does when we encounter him? Because, hey, we don't choose him first. He chooses us. He chooses us first, and he chooses to take the veil away from our eyes. He chooses to reveal himself as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He chooses us first, and then we encounter him. We encounter his presence, and Obed has no idea that this would mark the starting blocks of his race and his journey with God, because number one, great followers are made by God. Great followers are made by God, and great things were about to happen for Obed. Can you imagine Obed taking the ark into his house with his family when he knows what happened to the last guy that touched the ark? Can you imagine? I mean, Obed has a family. He's got 8 sons and many grandchildren, and everyone in the community would have heard about what happened with the ark. And in the following days and weeks, I'm sure that people would have been talking about, hey, the ark is in Obed's house. What's going to happen? You know, I'm sure that the women at the market were chatting and talking, and they would have been listing off all of Obed's maybe children and grandchildren and saying to each other who they'd seen and who they haven't seen lately. I mean, they'd be talking about Billy and, you know, oh, well, Billy never listened. He was the youngest and he never listened. I haven't seen him around. Do you think he touched the ark? Do you think he touched the ark while it was in the house? But we know that people were watching this family. We know that they were watching what was going to happen. Why? Because in verse 12 it says, now it was told to King David that the Lord had blessed Obed and his household and everything he owned. You know, God, people are watching our lives. They're watching to see, hey, oh, you're on this God thing. You've discovered God. You started going to church. What's that all about? They're watching to see what will happen in your life. They're watching to see because they're really wanting to know, is God really real? Is he real? Is he going to bless you? Is he a God up there? Is he distant? Or is he close? They really want to know, but they're watching your life. They're reading your life to see if God is real. And so people are watching this household and they're watching Obed to see what's going to happen. But all they can see is the blessing of God. All people can see is like what's different about you. There's something so good about you. I'm drawn to you. Why? What is it that you talk about? Who is this God that you serve? Why are you blessed? Why does your life look like this? And so people are watching Obed and his family. What happened in Obed was far greater than what happened to Obed. What was happening and going on in his heart and in his life and in his household when he took the presence of God into himself, when he took the presence of God into his house, when he took the presence of God into his family, what was happening in them, can I tell you, was far greater than what was happening around them, what was happening to them, that the blessing of God, that was far greater what was going on inside Obed and his family. Why? Because God was making Obed. God was making Obed. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 4:19, he says, follow me and I will make you. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. When God calls us to follow him, he then sets about making us. He's building us. He's setting us on our course. He's taking us into his plans and his purposes. And as we step out, as we follow, understand that with each step towards him, he is making us. Nothing is wasted with God. Can I tell you, nothing is wasted with God. He will use every single bit that you give to him. And not only that, he will multiply it in your life. You will see a great harvest from what he does in your life because he is making you. When we follow him, He is making us. He is directing our paths. You know, 20 years ago, when we as a church were 40 people in the school hall, and I was serving, I was filling gaps. That's what I was doing. Wherever there was a need, I was just helping. I was just helping, but I didn't realize that as I was following, he was making. I was following, and he was making me. As I was following, he was growing me. As I was following, he was teaching me. As I was growing, as I was following him, he was building me on the inside. As I was serving alongside, he was building us together, knitting us together as a church. Understand that where you serve, whether it be in the cafe team, whether it be in Kid Mania, yeah, whether it be on the greeters or the host team, he is building you. He is making you. And as you follow him, he is doing a work. You may not see it. You may not see his hand at work. Yeah, you may not see him at work all the time, but can I tell you, he is faithful. He is faithful. And you are right where you need to be as you follow him. You're following his word. You're tithing. You're giving to the house. You're participating in the vision offering. And he's building you. He is making you. You're talking to people, you're encouraging them, you're sharing the good news of the gospel, and he is making you as you keep following him. Great followers are made by God. When David heard that Obed-Edom and all of his house had been blessed by God, David was after the ark. He wanted to get the ark and bring it now to Jerusalem. He could see the blessing of God on Obed's life. But Obed now had a choice to make. Obed had a choice to make. Was he going to stay where he was and live off the past relationship that he had with God? Was he going to stay in that place of blessing and stay and live off the past blessing of God? Or was he actually going to get up and move to follow the presence of God? What was he going to do? What was he going to do? You see, it's easy to make a decision to move forward when you're in a hard time, isn't it? Because all you want to do is get out of there. When the situations and when the circumstances are hard against you, when you feel like you can't get breakthrough, I mean, all you want to do is get out of there. You just want to get out. But how much more and what does it take for great followers who press forward when things are so good? I mean, when life is so good and God's been blessing you, God's been restoring things in your life and God's given you breakthrough and you're in a good place, you're in a sweet place. How much harder is it to make a decision to press forward when you're in that good place? But still you choose to follow him. Still you choose to follow him. And Obed's focus wasn't on the things, it wasn't on the blessings, it wasn't on the surroundings. His focus was on running his race and following after God. And his desire, everything that was about him and this new relationship that he had with God, everything was about God, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. I don't care if I have to pack up my family. I don't care if I have to get everybody in the car and we're going to move. We're going to go to your presence. I don't care what it takes. Would you have that attitude this year as you step into this new year? God, whatever it takes, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to leave stuff behind because that's all that counts for nothing. But Lord, I want to embrace you. I want to take you on. I want to pursue you. I want to pursue your ways. And I want to take you forward into this new year. It takes great followers who press forward. Obed was more than a servant. He was a follower. You know, Obed started by serving the outward. He started by faithfully looking after the Ark of the Covenant. He started by looking after, and it was an external, but ended up with an internal, wholehearted response to follow. John chapter 12, verse 26 says, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me." You would think that maybe serving and following is the same thing, but God makes a distinction. If anyone serves me, let him also follow me. Because you can serve without the follow. You can do the external without the inward, internal. Amen? Obed started by serving but ended up by following. You see, servants allow themselves to be defined by the task. But followers define the task by bringing of themselves. I'll say that again. Servants allow themselves to be defined by the task, restricted to, okay, I'll just do this. This is what you've asked. This is what I'm going to give. But followers go above and beyond. I know at Enjoy Church, we are about the heart. Yeah? We're about the heart. We put all our heart in. We are wholehearted. We are all in. We put our heart into what we do. And God is calling us to do above and beyond. He's not just calling us to serve. That is good. But he wants our whole heart. He's only ever interested in your heart. He wants your heart. I think of Moses when I think about servants and followers. Moses. Everyone know Moses? Yes, we know Moses. Moses, here early every Sunday, leaves late every Sunday, waiting at the front door to greet Pastor Shane and Georgie as they come to church. To take their bag, carry their bag. He's protective of the house of God. He's protective of our senior pastors. This is not a task for Moses. We didn't say to Moses, you need to go on the door. We didn't say to him, you need to be protective of the house. You need to be protective of Pastor Shane and Joy. This is not a task for Moses. This is Moses' follow. It's Moses' follow. He brings himself to the role. He brings himself to the serving. He's all in. He's wholehearted. Amen? I love that. I love that. But I could go around the room, and there are so many of you who bring your heart into what you do. That's why you're called enjoyers. Amen? Philippians 3 verse 12, Paul says, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on. He says, I follow after to apprehend. To apprehend and take hold of that which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. He says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, because he's still in his race. He's still in his journey of following. But he says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead for me in this new year, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And so Obed-Edom leaves what is behind, like Paul says, because great followers press forward. And his desire for a relationship with God was established not just for himself. I wonder if he knew this. What an impact it would have on his family. It had an impact on his children and his grandchildren. In fact, it established a generational change for his lineage. He changed his bloodline. He was a Philistine, a Gittite from Gath. And now the Bible calls him Obed-Edom the Levite. The Levite, nonetheless. A Gentile turned Israelite to God's people. And now he's entrusted with the priestly duties that only a Levite can do. How wonderful is God's saving grace upon our lives. What he has done for Obed-Edom, he does for you. He does for us. Our story, when we encounter him, what he will do to make a change. You are not the same as you were when God rescued you. You each have a story, an amazing story, but it's of God's saving grace upon your life. It's of his salvation upon your life. And so now Levite, trusted with priestly duties in the house of God, he becomes a gatekeeper, he becomes a musician, and a doorkeeper. What a multi-talented guy he was. He was everywhere in the house of God. He was all over there. Great followers lead by example. And 62 men of Obed's family, 62 of his family followed Obed's example, because great followers lead by example, and they served in the house of God. Have a look at this. I'm going to run through these scriptures really quickly. 1 Chronicles chapter 15 verse 18, it says, and the gatekeepers Obed-Edom. 1 Chronicles chapter 15 verse 21, it says Obed-Edom was chosen to play the lyres. He was a musician. 1 Chronicles 15 verse 24 says Obed-Edom the doorkeeper for the ark. And finally, 1 Chronicles 26, verse 15, it says, and to Obed-Edom was given the south gate. and to his sons, the storehouse. Everything that was gathered, everything that was stored was given to be in charge by his family. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the decisions that you make today at the start of this new year? Can you imagine the impact on your family, your children, and your children's children by the decision that you choose to make to follow him more closely, to follow him, to give yourself wholeheartedly and unreservedly to follow him in this new year? Your family, your children, your lineage will be directly affected by the choices that you make to follow God. This was Obed-Edom's race of follow, but you and I have our race still going of follow. We still have it to run. Will you do? Will you take on that attitude of whatever it takes? Whatever it takes this year in order to follow God's leading. Will you follow the voice of the navigator, our Holy Spirit? Will you follow his voice? Would you take out, evict all the voices that you've had in the front seat of your vehicle? Evict them, not the ones that drove with you to church today. Figuratively speaking, take out the voices that have defined your yesteryear, your past years. Take out those voices and be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Be under the influence and the direction of the Holy Spirit, our navigator, who tells us how to take the next turn. He tells us the severity of it. He tells us how to walk wisely. He tells us, he gives us instructions of how to walk in his precepts and in the light of God's word. That's our navigator. You know, last week I was with my mum and she was sorting through some papers of my grandfather. My grandfather has passed on 2 years ago, and mum was just sorting through some papers and she found some sermon notes from my grandpa that my grandpa had written. My grandpa used to preach in Sunshine and Footscray and Deer Park, and wherever there was a need, he would preach from his church. He would be sent out. And we were laughing at some of these notes because they had the worst dad jokes. I mean, I'm like, did he really say these things as jokes? But you know what? It made me wonder. If my grandpa didn't follow God like he did, if he didn't lead by example like he did, I wonder, would I be here today doing what I'm doing? Yeah? Great followers are made by God. Great followers press forward. Great followers lead by example. What would happen for your family? What would happen for your life if you chose, if you said, whatever it takes, God, I'm going to follow you this year. Whatever it takes, I don't care what it costs me. I don't care what I have to give up, but I'm going to follow you closely, Lord. I'm going to put some things in place so that I close that distance, because I've drifted from you. I've drifted away from you, God.